Jesus Christ is a light of revelation concerning salvation. He is the one who took on human flesh, lived a perfect life, and died for our sins and rose from the dead. And he is the true light that enlightens every man. He is the light of the world.
Thanks for joining us for this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, as we embark on today's teaching, give us an idea of what we'll be learning.
Well, Dave, we're going to continue our look at a passage that gives us a picture of Christmas from a different angle. Turn with us to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 25 to 35.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
The majority would later on reject the Lord, crucify him, but there was a remnant of those, including Simeon, who were looking for the comfort of Israel. Simeon was a godly man waiting for God to fulfill his promises through his Messiah. Tremendous reality. And notice he was also spirit-led and submissive. Look at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. His focus is on what the Lord has promised, and is yours. And then he says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. You could literally say it this way from the original language. The Holy Spirit had been upon him continually. Continually. This is a true believer, as we will see, yielded to God, and his Spirit was continually upon him. And notice within this, verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. You see, the Holy Spirit had revealed to this true believer that he would not see death before he had seen, end of verse 26, the Lord's Christ. And remember, God spoke in many ways and many portions before, but now he has spoken through his Son. Hebrews chapter 1. So the Holy Spirit somehow revealed to this man that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Christ. Now the Greek term translated Christ, the equivalent to the Hebrew term translated anointed one or Messiah. It spoke of the prophesied Redeemer King who would rule but yet would have to suffer then for the glories to follow. And so within here we see, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. The Holy Spirit was upon this Old Testament saint. He was a man led by the Spirit of God. He was a yielded man. He was righteous and devout. This is a good guy, and he was focused on the promises of God being fulfilled. That's what we need to be. We need to be righteous because of faith in Jesus Christ, which will manifest as we trust in Christ. And we need to be careful and cautious about our walk with the Lord as we walk on this earth. And we need to be looking for the promises that God has promised to fulfill. And we see the Spirit of God was upon him, and he led him. It says here, he was being led by the Spirit of God. Now, why would Luke share so much about the character of this man, Simeon, and the Spirit leading and revealing things to him? I think in a moment it'll be clear because of what this man will do and say, because it doesn't ultimately come from him. He's led by the Lord, and he speaks the truth of God, as we will say. Now, one last observation about Simeon. Notice he was also a submissive servant. Look down in verse 29 for a minute. Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy will. Notice he humbly calls himself the Lord's bondservant. And what's interesting, he doesn't use the normal word for servant here. He uses a different word from Greek, despota, which spoke of a master who had absolute sovereign control. He's the Lord's bondservant. He's a servant under the master who has sovereign control over him in everything. And folks, that's where we need to be. We need to recognize that we have a good master who gave himself for us. And that the master of sin and selfishness is a horrible master that leads to death. But when we trust in Christ, a good master, and we obey his word, it is for our good. When our hearts are changed and our desires are changed to submit to a good master, we are blessed. And here we have Simeon, a godly man, the Lord's bondservant. So let me ask you this question. Would the Lord describe you in this way? Are you a spirit-led, yielded, devout, righteous, careful, humble servant of the Lord? Would the Lord describe you that way? I know there's times when he wouldn't describe me as that way, and we need to confess and see ourselves rightly, that we would be like this, where we would allow God's word to change our heart and our desires, and we would follow him righteously in the context of faith and devotion, as we see. So then we have a good picture of this man, Simeon. Now let's take a look at the response of him, Simeon, this believer, to seeing the baby Jesus, his salvation. We see that to the end of verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now look at 27. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he, that's speaking of Simeon, took him into his arms and blessed God and said. So Mary and Joseph, with the baby Jesus, are in the temple to present him according to the law and to give that offering according to the law. And here we see, in obedience, we're actually presenting the Lord himself, the Lord's Christ. So Simeon takes this six-week-old baby, Jesus, into his arms, and how does he respond? He responds by blessing God. The term blessing means speaking well of. And it says here, verse 28, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. Holding Jesus, he declares that now he can die in peace, that promise fulfilled that the Spirit had made clear to him, because he has seen with his eyes thy salvation. He fully acknowledges to the Lord that you've kept your promise, Lord, and that he now can die and depart this earth in peace. Verse 30, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. And this is so important because he says, my eyes have seen thy salvation. You see, God has declared who salvation is through. You see, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all in need of salvation from our sins and God's righteous judgment upon that sin. And God provided that way of escape from judgment, that salvation, and he provided it through his son Jesus. And his son took on human flesh to die for our sins. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. God took on human flesh. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. And if you'll remember what the angel said to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1:21, and she, speaking of Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. God the Son, the Lord of all, took on human flesh, the Lord who is salvation. And so this godly saint, Simeon, is waiting for the consolation of Israel, the redemption of Israel, which would come through the person of Jesus Christ. And he says, and blesses God, he speaks well of God by declaring the truth of his promise. My eyes have seen thy salvation. I can depart in peace. You've kept your word. And for my eyes have seen thy salvation. He's bearing witness to the identity of this child. This is the Lord's Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. We know from Scripture that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. 1 Timothy 4:10. That salvation is possible through Jesus Christ. We know from Acts 4:12 that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation comes through the person of Jesus Christ. It doesn't come through going to church. It doesn't come through doing things. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ, God who took on human flesh, lived the perfect life, bore our sins in His body on the cross, died for sin, and rose from the dead. It comes through Him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And Simeon says, my eyes have seen thy salvation. This is the Savior. Tremendous. And notice he continues to speak of him as he's holding him. The 6-week old baby named Jesus in his arms. He identifies him as the Lord's Christ, thy salvation. And he continues, look at verse 31. He says, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all the peoples. The term prepared speaks of being made ready. It's in a tense that means it's a done deal. God had made ready, He had prepared His salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. It's interesting, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, we have a conversation between God the Son and God the Father, in which the Son is talking about the body that God has prepared for Him to come bring about salvation. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And after saying above, sacrifices and offering and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not desired, nor hast thou taken pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do thy will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. And by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We have the reality that this has been prepared before us. It's been made known. It's been made ready. It's been made ready, and it says here back in our chapter 2, verse 31, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all the peoples. It is literally before the face of the people. What's being said here is that salvation in Jesus Christ has not been hidden. It is before all. And as we'll see, God took on human flesh to die for our sins. It's not hidden. And then notice he describes this baby even more as he blesses the Lord. He says, in verse 32, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now the grammar is interesting here. You could say it's maybe a light of revelation to the Gentiles, one, the glory of people Israel, two, or you could see this portion, a light, speaking this way grammatically, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and a light of glory to thy people Israel. Well, either way, grammatically, both those realities are true. So what is he saying here? What is he saying about this term, a light of revelation to the Gentiles? Look in John chapter 1. We'll see, first of all, he's a light to everyone. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came that he might bear witness of the light. There was a true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And then turn to John 8:12. John 8:12. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then look up at John 12:46. I have come as light into the world, that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. Now, although certainly Jesus is a light of revelation to everyone, I believe our passage points specifically to the fact that he is a light of revelation to the Gentiles, that is, non-Jews. And this is an amazing statement from Simeon at this point, because the Jews thought it was all for them. And it says here, he says, a light of revelations to the Gentiles. And coming from a Jew, this is an amazing statement at this time. But obviously it's the Spirit speaking through him, and it's truth. You see, the majority of Jews didn't believe the Messiah was for anyone but for them. They were looking for a Messiah, a king to come deliver them from the bondage of Rome, not from their sin. And Simeon, being inspired by the Spirit, reveals that this babe in his arms, this Jesus, thy salvation, in this context, is a light of revelation to the Gentiles. And now, although this was not understood by the mainstream unbelieving Jew, God had made it clear to his people in the Old Testament that a Messiah would come also to the Gentiles. He had made it clear. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. Let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 9. God had made it clear in his word that a Messiah would come to the Gentiles. His Messiah. Isaiah 9, verse 1. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. And in earlier times he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on he shall make it glorious. By the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. And then turn up to Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5. You see, Isaiah had made it clear that the Messiah would go to the Gentiles, non-Jews. But the Jews didn't like that. I think they had the attitude Jonah had towards Gentiles. He didn't want them to be saved, did he? That was Israel's attitude. But you see in Isaiah that God had made it clear what he would do. Isaiah 42, verse 5. Thus says the Lord God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, those who dwell in darkness from prison. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. And then I'll read this for you also. Isaiah 52, verse 10. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of God. Jesus is a light of salvation, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. We see this in the book of Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 13, and I'm not going to share Acts 26, but Paul was appointed to share to the Gentiles, to non-Jews. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. Acts 13, 44. And the next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of God. That's pretty cool, isn't it? But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first." That's to the Jews. "Since you repudiated and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For thus the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you should bring salvation to the end of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord is being spread through the whole region. Jesus Christ is a light of revelation concerning salvation. He is the one who took on human flesh, lived the perfect life, and died for our sins, and rose from the dead. And he is the true light that enlightens every man. He is the light of the world. He reveals God's righteousness. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, and we can receive that righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. And so then Simeon understood, inspired by the Spirit, that not only was Jesus a light to the Gentiles, but also, notice, he said, in the end of that, back in our passage, chapter 2, end of verse 32, that he is also the glory of thy people, Israel. Jesus is the glory of Israel. He's the glory of Israel and a light to the nations. You see, God had made a covenant with Israel. He was their glory. And yet, as we know, through their disobedience, even in Ezekiel, the glory departed from the temple. A symbolic manifestation of God's presence departed because of their disobedience. But yet we see God's glory had returned in bodily form. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And here Simeon says, the light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. And it's concerning salvation to this little babe. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He is the complete focus of this glorious gospel. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. More about Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, Paul is addressing the Corinthians who are saying things about him that aren't true. They've been influenced by the false apostles, chapter 11. And apparently he's saying, hey, you're not saving many people. And Paul's going to answer that question here, saying, well, even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. Don't turn your heart away from believing, because if you do, God will allow your heart to be veiled. And he says here, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. It's about Jesus, right? For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We have the reality that Jesus is the light of the gospel of the glory. Christ is the light of the gospel. The glory of it is the focus. Don't reject it. This little babe Simeon was holding in his hands was the Savior of the world. And the Lord has placed that before us for all to see. He has made known his salvation, not just to Jews, but to Gentiles. One last passage about this. Turn to Psalm 98. Psalm 98, verse 2. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. He is a light of revelation to the Gentiles. He is the glory of Israel. So notice also how he responds. Back to our passage, chapter 2, verse 34. Notice Simeon begins to bless Mary and Joseph directly. And Simeon blessed them, spoke well of them, speaking of Mary and Joseph, saying to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the rise and fall of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's Christmas broadcast, give us a takeaway from our time together.
You know, Dave, the takeaway from today's message is this. If you're a true believer, spend some time today in worship and thanksgiving for all that Christ has done for you, for willingly coming to earth, becoming a man, that he might take on your sin and mine and bring the forgiveness of sins through his death on the cross. That's the meaning of Christmas.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.